Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And this is Music from the Tower. Welcome again to this week's episode. Today, we have something very special for you. Usually we have choral groups or organists, or today we have an opera singer par excellence. My friend, Cesar Sanchez is here in the studio with me. Welcome, Cesar.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me here and for sharing your audience with me.
I am so happy for you to be here. And wait till you hear some of this music, my friends. You are going to be blown away. Get your radios ready. Get your stereo systems all set. Cesar comes to us from Tijuana. I've met him really in the first days of coming to Orange County myself. I had a wonderful dinner in Dr. Thomas Code and his wife at their beautiful home. And you were the singer entertainment that night.
Yes.
I met you right off the bat.
Yes, and we were actually coming from the same city because I was in Philadelphia for 4 years.
Yes.
I believe that's where you were before.
I indeed was there for 5 years. So we were there at the same time, although
destiny.
We didn't know each other. Anyway, I'm so happy you're on the show today. Thank you for being with us. You were going to hear some fascinating tales about this great young singer. Cesar has had an amazing career. And like many of our guests, we've talked to so many musicians here in the studio. Like many of our guests, he can trace the beginnings of his musical life to the church. And tell us a little bit about what it was like to be a boy chorister in Tijuana.
Well, it was one of the most amazing experiences because I didn't have access to any academies or conservatories back then. I'm still very young, but even so, back then, there weren't any of those options there. The only options was to go to the church and try to learn singing and music, which I did my best to do so.
Are you listening, Catholic music directors out there? We have that responsibility. As budgets get cut in the school and there's less and less art, less and less training, it can happen in the church. And it did for you, right, Cesar?
Yes, it did for me and for many other great singers in history, like my favorite one, Caruso. He also started as a boy chorister in Naples.
In Naples, exactly right. And you really found a book about Caruso and were enamored with this, right?
Yes, when I was about 11 years old, even before that, I was just browsing. You know, we didn't have internet back then, so sometimes you had no choice but to read a hardcover book.
Okay, you have to read a book once in a while.
And there was this book that had different biographies, and I saw this Caruso, I don't know, because the C in his name caught my attention. Then I saw there was this opera singer, and I read his amazing story, and I really became obsessed with
it. Saw photographs?
Yes, photographs of him singing actually in Mexico City in the bullfighting plaza with no microphone. And that, I just couldn't believe. I said, how can a human sing in that big plaza with no microphone? So I started to read as much as I could from him. And then, as we were talking before, at that time also, I was my parents were taking me to visit family, and there weren't kids my age, so I was very reluctant to go. So I was like a spoiled brat, channel surfing the TV, and then I saw the very ending of one of my favorite arias now, Nessun Dorma from Turandot by Plácido Domingo. He was singing that. Back then, I didn't know who he was or what he was singing, but I just knew I wanted to do that. And then I realized that it was the same thing that this character I read, Caruso. They were both opera singers. So then I became, again, obsessed with opera.
That's great. Isn't that a great story? I love that. And, you know, often when you come from a little town, I came from a little town in California, there weren't great opera singers, there weren't great church musicians, there weren't the kind of things that would inspire a young boy. But I remember listening to recordings of great orchestras, and, you know, I bought all these nerdy records that no one else would have in their collection as a teenager. But You know, I used to listen, and I love those, and it sounds like you did the same.
Yes, I even had to disguise my music selection from my peers in elementary because, you know, I didn't want to get picked on. So I put, I don't know, whatever they were listening back then. It was, I don't know, a heavy metal band, and I used to write the name of them. Like, I recorded it, but it was actually Placido Domingo Pavarotti.
Okay. All right. Well, and at the same time, you were helping in your family restaurant, right?
Yes, I was. I started also with my other passion, which is cooking, nourishing people by the feeding them.
Feeding and musically and music, feeding them. Yeah. Was your mom and dad a great cook? Who was a great cook in your family?
Both were, but they weren't professional, so that restaurant didn't go far. But I learned.
But I bet they had some great family recipes. Huh?
Yes, yes, we do. We
still
practice.
Do you still have those?
Oh, yes, yes, we do them every time we can.
Oh, great. Well, I've had the pleasure of meeting your parents at concerts. I should say, really, right off the bat, that Cesar has been featured now in 3 of our concerts right here at Christ Cathedral. We're so proud to have him with us. And you certainly attract a crowd. We always have a big crowd when Cesar is here. And we're looking forward to another performance again in this season, perhaps even a special gala featuring him. So we're hoping to have more details on that as we go. Certainly as we dedicate the cathedral, we'll be having many, many concerts that happen to feature a famous tenor we know and love. But let's go tell our folks just a little bit more about how you came to know music. So you studied music in church. You sang in the church choir. You listened to recordings. But beyond that, what took you next?
Well, after that, because I'm going to break the, how do you say, the glamour. Before I went to Europe, I decided to open myself. I was a young entrepreneur. I was 17, and I opened this, what is in Mexico, we call them tortas, which is basically a sandwich, a Mexican sandwich. So I was a torta maker. And there I used to practice because I had no voice teacher. My voice teachers were my recordings. But, you know, destiny, God was working its way through my life. And a car passed by, overheard me sing the high note, and he stopped. And he happened to be, his name is Jose Medina. He's a tenor also from Tijuana. He used to reside in Germany. He had actually an important career in Europe. And he says, he asked me, are you the one singing? I said, no. I was very introverted. I still am a little bit.
I'm just making the sandwich here.
But, you know, I was very reluctant. In a couple of weeks, he saw me again. He heard me and said, I caught you red-handed. It was you. So he presented himself. I'm an opera singer. I would like to help you out. So he heard me sing, and he asked me, who's your teacher? And I said, I have no teacher. And then he says, no, you have to have a teacher. No one just sings like that. And I said, well, okay, well, Caruso, Pavarotti, Placido.
Yes, you studied the best.
And then he took me to his teacher in San Diego, California, Jane Westbrook. And then she helped me train vocally and gave me one of the most important things, which is books to read about technique, vocal technique, like Vince, William Bernard, The Mechanism of Singing, Lamperti, the Caruso and the Art of Singing, and which I still read every now and then. And from there, I was able to do an audition for a scholarship in Tijuana, which I won, which was money to go to Europe and an audition. So I went to the Mozarteum with the girlfriend at that time.
Oh, okay.
I was actually forced by her.
Well, we're going to hear more about this little expedition off to Austria. You did also study at a school for liturgical music in Guadalajara.
That's
yes,
true.
When you were in high school.
Yes, that's true. In Guadalajara, Jose Medina, he's the one who told me about to go to Guadalajara because that's where he did his studies. And there was a teacher there, Carlos, can't think of his last name right now, a wonderful baritone, and he told me that I should go there, and I was there for 2 years, and it was a great experience.
During your high school years?
Yes.
Was it a boarding school, or you
yes.
went in the summer?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a boarding school.
It was a boarding
okay,
school.
So you left your home.
Yeah.
No more cooking for 2 years.
No more cooking for 2 years.
Well, we have to hear some music. We're just tantalizing you with the very beginnings of this very elaborate career of our guest today, Cesar Sanchez. And Cesar, One of the first pieces you remember hearing is La Donna Mobile, yes?
Yes, it was precisely with Enrico Caruso in one of those old, thick recordings, you know, that...
Belonged to your grandfather, did you say?
From my grandfather, yes.
Isn't that great? So your parents were not musical at all?
No, they unfortunately, when I started to scream, because I could not say it was singing, it was just screaming, my parents thought that there was something wrong with
okay,
me.
Ready to get the doctor. Well, we're glad your parents steered you towards some musical training. This is La Donna Mobile. This is from Rigoletto by Verdi, and this is not Enrico Caruso. This is one of his protégés, Cesar Sanchez. And we will be right back with a lot more from Cesar. And this is Music from the Tower. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Music from the Tower. This is John Romero, your host, and today we are talking with superstar opera singer Cesar Sanchez. Cesar, you were just about to tell us about the scholarship money that you won to go study in Austria, and there was a little tiny mention of a girlfriend who went along. Okay, let's elaborate here. Tell us more.
This talented, amazing ex-girlfriend that I had.
I see the ex in there. Okay.
In case she hears this, I want to speak great about her. No, she was amazing. She's the one who told me about the scholarship. So we went in audition, and we both won the money to go in audition to the Mozarteum. And at the Mozarteum, I didn't know any German. And I was practically...
That must have been fun.
Oh, my God. It was intimidating. And then it was my first time in Europe. And I had...
Oh, very first trip.
Yeah, my first trip
in
Europe.
Isn't that great?
And I went there, and the money, when I changed the money, I realized it was nothing. Those pesos turn into nothing when you turn them into euros. So I was afraid. And then we lost a train. We had no sleep. And then we had to do the audition and the written exam. Of course, the written exam was in German. So one of the few things, you know, I could answer.
Luckily, because, music symbols are
yes,
music symbols.
But the rest, I left blank. And then I sang La Donna Mobile, and I was so tired, I forgot the lyrics. So next day, in the afternoon, when we looked at the list to see if our names were there, we weren't at the list in the Mozarteum. So that means they didn't want us. So I was thankful. I felt a relief. But then this woman came out and said, "You, Cesar Sanchez?" I said, "Yes." "Well, the teachers are in the hall, and they want to speak to you." And I said, what for? I was speaking in German.
Maybe I'm not Cesar Sanchez.
So I was speaking in German. He says, well, they really want to meet you. And they all speak, some of them speak English, and they really want to meet you. They want to talk to you about something. So I went there, and they said, well, you know, we want to give you a chance, and we want you at the school. And I said, well, you know, this is very expensive. I don't have the money. We're going to give you a scholarship.
Great.
And I said, okay, well, there's another problem. I'm only here because of my girlfriend. And she's not in the list either, so, you know, I cannot do this to her. You know, so I have to decline, thank you, but no thank you. I really wanted to get out of there. I was very intimidated. I was afraid of it. And they say, what's your girlfriend's name? There was my mistake. I said her name, and they went out, looked for her, and they gave her the good news. And then she started to jump and say, we're staying, Cesar. And I said, I guess we are.
Oh, that's great. And the beginning of a great career takes off there. How long were you there studying?
I was also 2 years there.
And what were some of the things you got to do while you were at the school?
Well, I sang the Clemenza de Tito. I sang excerpts from the Così fan tutte. And, of course, they had the whole training from ear training to fencing. Even shamefully, I have to say that I've dance ballet.
Okay. I know you in Radio Land don't have a picture of this, but Cesar is a big guy, about 6'2". I would love to see you in your tutu, Mark.
I'm 6'3 and 260 something pounds.
Wow. A tiny little opera singer, to be sure. And so did you tour around while you were there? Did you mostly stay at the school?
I stayed at the school because, you know, it was an intense program. It was a whole day thing. Only the summer we had off, but I didn't have money to return to Mexico in the summer. So I had to stay there and get a job in the summer and rent.
Did you do a little restauranting while you were
there? I did a restaurant because I love it. And I was fortunate enough to work there in the summer.
But what a beautiful city.
Oh, it's
and
beautiful.
Great music going on all the time.
Yeah.
Summer festivals galore.
Yeah, and even the students that they live there, they're always practicing. And it's such a tiny town that we all live nearby. So in the summer, you have the windows open, everything. You can hear all kinds of music
everywhere. Isn't that true?
Singers, instrumentalists, all of them.
Well, it sounds like a great background. It just sounds amazing.
Yes.
And so then you came back finally to Mexico after your 2 year study?
After my 2 year study there, I came back because funding.
Music is filled with starving artists, right?
Really?
Even those who are cooks are starving artists.
Yes. Even though I was recipient of a few scholarships while at the Mozart Theater, it was still very expensive.
That's very cool, though, that you were able to do that kind of study at that level.
Yeah, it was a great school, great experience. I met a lot of colleagues that I was then after fortunate to work with. And before I left, I was working with this pianist. Her name was Valentina Dragomir. Was a colleague of mine, but she was a pianist. She was teaching me music and the arias that I needed for her because I wanted to go on audition. And she recorded my session and sent it to this very famous diva in Romania called Mariana Nicolescu. And when I was in Mexico, she called me a few months, this Mariana Nicolescu, and said...
After you came home from the
Mexico. Yes. So I was here like a year, I think, in Mexico, and then I received a call from a certain Mariana Nicolescu, which back then I didn't know who she was. And she calls me and says, are you Cesar Sanchez? And I go, yes. Who's this?
Maybe.
Maybe. Depends what you want. And says, I am Mariana Nicolescu. She was very, you know, a diva. She recorded with Decca. She did with famous tenor, Spanish tenor from Islas Canarias. Can't remember his name right now. Oh, I will remember later.
It's okay.
But a wonderful... one of the best tenors in history. So she had a huge career, and then she called me, you know who Mariana Nicolescu is? No, I'm a tenor. I only know tenors, man.
Poor tenors.
And she says, well, I want you to invite you to my summer school in Romania, which is 2 months, and I will pay for everything.
Wow.
So I said,
so yes. She heard something there that she wanted to explore.
Yes, she was very generous. She was a tough lady. I remember the first day that I flew to Europe, and then the next day I took the train to Romania from Vienna to Romania. It was like 20-something hours.
Oh, gosh.
No air condition. It was a Romanian train. it was exhausting. I got to the theater. It was already like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. and was just exhausted. And they say, they're waiting for you at the theater. I say, what do you mean they're waiting for me? I've been the whole day, you know, almost 24 hours, like 18 hours. He says, well, they're waiting for you. And I get to the theater, and Mariana Nicolescu is on the stage, center stage, and says, Cesar, what are you going to sing tonight? And I said, no, madame, you know, I just came from 18 hours of... I didn't ask you how long was your trip. I asked you, what are you going to see? She made me sing. She made me sing practically all my repertoire.
Isn't that great?
Now she I see it.
Yes, she had great confidence in you.
She did too much.
But while you were there, you won an international competition in voice, right?
Yes.
After her teaching you?
Yes. I worked with her for about 6 months. And then she suggested that I should do the Darclay competition. Harry Clay Darclay, as we were discussing before, is the first soprano that sang the opera Tosca by Puccini.
So Darclay International Vocal Competition, and you won.
Yes, I won, and I won also the Audience Prize Award, and I also won the Song Award, which you sing. I sang Granada and Júrame from Maria Grieber, Mexican composers, and they also gave me a special award. So for being a starving artist with practically no money, I was fortunate enough to walk out like with $19,000.
Isn't that great? That's a lot as a young artist and a young singer. That's fabulous. And while you were there, after winning that competition, you got to go on and sing with the National Opera of Romania?
Yes, before that I did concerts with the Georgianescu Philharmonic at the Ateneum, one of the best theaters I ever sang.
Wow.
It's like singing in the shower. As comfortable.
Places like that.
Yes, and then I was offered to sing Alfredo in La Traviata from Verdi, which I did. And then they offered me to sing Edgardo, the tenor in Lucia de la Marmor by Donizetti, and then a few concerts in between.
You're tantalizing us. We'd better hear some more music. How about we hear Granada that you said you did sing at arriving at the school in Romania?
Sure, yes.
This is a Mexican piece, yes? From an opera.
No, this is a Mexican composer, Agustin Lara, that never went to Spain but fell in love with Spain through a friend. He lived vicariously through a friend, and he wrote a suite of Spanish songs, and one of them is Granada.
Right. And this is Granada, and this is Cesar Sanchez singing this. Do you know where you sang this, or who's playing behind you? This is from your album.
It's from Mark Salters, the accompanist on the piano. And it's in Costa Fullerton University.
Great, good. All right, and we'll be back. We have a lot more to this story. It's just beginning to unfold. Please stay tuned. This is Music from the Tower with John Romero, and today, Cesar Sanchez.
The
Welcome back. This is Music from the Tower, and today we are with opera singer Cesar Sanchez. So no organists today, no symphony conductors, no Pacific Chorale directors. We are with opera stars today, and we are talking with Cesar Sanchez. We heard about his inspiration all the way back to Enrico Caruso. He's studied at the Mozarteum. He's won awards in Romania. He's sung really all over the place. And now let's continue on your story here. You're back in Tijuana and San Diego. Your parents are now living in the U.S.?
Yes. By then, already passed like a good 12, 14 years in Europe, which I sang in Wuppertal with the Cologne Philharmonic. Philharmonic, and sang in Italy, in Como, and different parts.
So you really had a time in Europe there. How many years would you say?
I was 14 to 15 years there.
Wow.
Yeah, I did a lot of concerts, a few operas, and I met a wonderful people that taught me a lot. One of them that I'm always going to be grateful for is a conductor that unfortunately passed away, Eduardo Müller. He also conducted the Met and the Scala and in San Diego Opera.
Oh, great. Okay.
And he was one of my coaches. Yeah.
Actually, oh, that's fabulous.
He taught me Tosca and Alfredo and El Duke from Rigoletto. Yeah, so he was a very special person in my life and gave me a lot of knowledge that I desperately needed.
And really, as an opera singer, it's about coaching into the, not just the music, but also the character of the person, right?
Yes, because an opera is very complex because it's not only the music, which you have to know because everyone depends on you, and you depend on everyone.
Yes.
You know, the chorus depends on your line sometimes, and you depend on an instrument or another singer.
A cue from somewhere.
The conductor with his eyebrow or something, you know. Everyone depends on everyone in an opera. And so many things, because it's staged with props and huge stagings, everything goes wrong every single time, no matter where the venue is. It could be the Met, or it could be the smallest theater.
There's always something.
There's always something. So it's very complex. So you have to know the music by heart, with no doubt.
It really has to be in you.
It has to be in you.
And not then, just something you've happened to learn in the studio.
And then you have to do something even that goes beyond that, which is put in your voice. And what that means is you have to put in your muscles. You have to create some sort of muscle memory for every single note and space in between each note. And then you have to understand the play, because you are singing about someone. You have to become the character. And for that to happen, you have to get the music and the voice, and then you focus on the character. So, because people need to believe, not only love your voice and like it, but they have to believe that you are that person.
That person, and be lost in that character.
Yes, you have to transport people. You have to rob them from the stage in which they are. You know, some people go to an opera, but in their mind, they're still going over the things that, you know, they have to.
Their daily life.
They're lawyers, they're doctors, they can't stop. So our jobs as an artist, in your field, is to rob them from that and bring them to a place that only exists when you're performing.
Well, and as a church musician, that's exactly what we try to do when they come in the church. For some people, it's like, oh, we want the same music, the same pop music that we hear on the radio on the way to church. But in my book, it's about transporting them beyond that world.
Exactly.
To the great music of Palestrina or the great music of Bach or whoever it is. You know, that it's a little bit otherworldly. You know, chant takes you out of this world and puts you somewhere else. People want that, even for an hour a week, or even for 2 or 3 hours during an opera. Whatever it is, you want to be transparent and just transfixed into this. And the vocal demands that you must be going through. Renee Fleming is in a musical carousel right now on Broadway. And my son is the flute player in the opera.
Congratulations.
And he and Renee were just making the cast recording just yesterday. And John somehow got talking to Renee Fleming about how is it different being in a musical from an opera. You know, first of all, they have 8 shows, 9 shows a week. You know, in an opera, they maybe have 1 or 2, 3 maybe.
3 at the most.
In the week, because she was explaining how, you know, there's no mics. Everything is about producing, filling the whole Metropolitan Opera stage.
Yeah.
With her voice, so you can't do it 8 times a week or you'd have nothing left. And how she's learning to use the microphone. She's on stage more. She said, when I would be in an opera, I would come on the stage, I would sing my thing, and then somehow I'd disappear. You know, now I'm still on the stage in a musical, and they have to give me props because I'm just standing there like a lump. So she's telling my son all this. It was great, but it does give you a little window into the rigors of an opera singer to not only all of that stuff into your mind and into your heart, really, but also be vocally up to speed to fill these giant opera houses with no microphones, sing over a 18-20-piece orchestra.
Yeah, even more. For example, we just did Macbeth in Tampa Opera, and it's a 4,000-seat theater, and the orchestra was more than, I think it was 60-something with special instruments for Verdi. And it was, I mean, when I went out to see the in front of the stage, I came out to hear the music, you can actually feel it resonating in your chest. It was so
such
impressive.
A big group, yeah.
And then it got intimidated. I said, I have to balance with that.
Yeah.
And a huge chorus.
Well, there's no problem if you've heard César even one time. There is no problem balancing with this. And, of course, you have to stand out above the chorus.
Yes, definitely.
So, opera is just such a great fun. And the stories are so wacky that I can never follow an opera. I just let go of that,
yes.
Trying to understand.
Don't make sense of it.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
No sense whatsoever. So you're back in Mexico now after this wonderful 14, 15 years in Europe. So what are you doing back here? Why didn't you stay there? What are you doing back
here? Well, I got homesick. I miss my parents.
Your parents.
And then I really wanted to, you know, be based somewhere. I love Europe. I still do, and I miss it, but I wanted to be near my parents. And when I was here, I also was very fortunate. That's when Philadelphia comes. I have to say it again, another girlfriend.
Oh, no. Here it comes, Radioland. Here it comes. This man is totally driven from girlfriend to girlfriend here. This is fabulous.
This is just destiny. It was my fault.
So what girlfriend led you to Philadelphia?
Well, she was an amazing soprano. That now she's graduating from Yale University. She was studying at the Academy of Vocal Arts.
Yes, one of Philadelphia's finest. Those people go right from that school to the Met, to every opera house on the East Coast.
Exactly.
It's fabulous.
It's a program that trains completely what you need as an opera singer, and they give you stipend, and it's one of the best schools in the world, to be honest.
When I was at the Cathedral in Philadelphia, I had several staff singers at the Cathedral who were from that school. Yeah. Anthony, who you said
Anthony Schneider.
One of my very favorite singers.
A wonderful
He had
bass.
Those low bass
yes,
notes. I just loved it when Anthony was my bass.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. He's still there. When she was there, I went to vocalize because, you know, you can do it in our apartment. And again, destiny, God had his hand in it. And as I was vocalizing this amazing woman that I admire, and who was a coach for Pavarotti for 20 years, and Carlo Bergonzi, her name is Danielle Orlando. She's the head coach, the master coach at the Academy of Vocal Arts in Philadelphia. She opened the door and says, "You're not from school, are you?" And I thought she was going to kick me out.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
We need to see your ID.
Yes. And it says, "Aren't you this person's boyfriend?" I think she send me an email that you wanted to coach with me. And I said, yes, but, you know, you never answer any of my emails.
No, dear.
And then she said, well, I never heard you sing. Now I do. And I have time for you right now if you have the time.
Oh, isn't that great?
So I went and we coached for a good amount of an hour. And then she said to me, there's someone in this school that needs to hear you. His name is Bill Schumann, one of the greatest, like they call him the tenor guru in New York City. He has most of the tenors at the Met. And so she took me by the hand and knocked on his door in his studio at the Academy of Vocal Arts and said, I need you to hear this young tenor. And he goes, oh, yeah, I will. I said, no, Bill, you need to hear him. And he goes, I will. I says, hear him, please. And he goes, oh, okay, can you come to New York in 3 days? I have, you know, like 10 minutes between lessons. Wow. So I said, going all the way to New York just for 10 minutes, I told her. And then she said, Cesar, all you need is 2 minutes from him. You don't need that.
Well, you don't even need the other eight.
No, but I ended up going. He was so generous. He actually gave me a little bit more than an hour.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yes. And then he got me started here in the U.S. And that's how I ended up with an
the
agent.
And the Tampa Opera. Yes, well, we're going to talk more about that. And we need to hear some more music, though. What should we hear next? Something from Tosca?
Yes, how about Recondita Armonia, which is what I sang last year, the past production 2017 at the Tampa Opera. It's the beginning of the opera. This is my first aria, and I'm talking about which beauty is more enticing, the blonde or the brunette?
Oh, see, there's a theme here, folks. This is Music from the Tower. It used to be Music from the Tower. Now there's just high drama going on here.
It's opera.
It's opera. I knew I should never have let opera students. We need to stick to organists, friends. Okay, no, I'm just teasing. This is great, and we will be right back with so much more from Cesar Sanchez. Please stay tuned. Here's a little Tosca by Puccini. This is Music from the Tower with John Romeri and our guest today, superstar opera star, opera tenor, I should say, Cesar Sanchez. Cesar, you've taken us all over the world, and now you're back in America. You've just done a little bit in Philadelphia, but you really are sort of based all around America. You've done some Tijuana things, some Tampa things, some things in L.A. Take us through a couple of those.
Well, yes, one of those times that I was back in California, I was fortunate enough to be working in a pilot program for the LA Opera, which featured that young professionals. We did the pilots of the opera that we're doing on main stage, and we did it as educational, to engage more people, to get more audience.
To know more about opera?
Yes, and that's how I
For students or just for the whole general?
General.
Yeah, nice.
So, and that's how I started to get my name in the ears of Mr. Plácido Domingo.
Who is the artistic director of LA Opera.
LA Opera. And
everybody knows from here in SoCal.
And the first tenor that I heard in a video, which I said in the beginning, with Nessun Dorma.
All the way back.
It
kind of goes full circle.
Yes. And while I was doing that, I was fortunate enough to be invited to sing a concert with the maestro himself, which...
Wow.
It was an amazing
experience.
That must
have been so thrilling.
Yes. And I heard him vocalize, and I just couldn't believe my luck that
there he was. Side by side.
Yeah, so we share the stage, and it was, till this day, I have it in my memories. And then I will say something that recently happened, but I will go back to Tijuana now. I went back to Tijuana because...
He's everywhere, I told you, folks.
My first teacher was from Tijuana, Jose Medina, and another tenor there, Marco Antonio La Bastida. And after 14 years, I was able to finally sing an opera in my hometown, which was Turandot by Puccini. And it was a festival they do every year. And now every year is becoming bigger and bigger, then it's going to become one of the festivals of the UNESCO. I think in a couple of years.
Wow.
More than 14,000 people.
People, yes.
14 people, that would be sad. 14,000 people come to this event. And we had a great success.
Is it held over several days?
No, just one day.
Just one performance.
One performance, wow. One day. It's a whole day. They have different activities. And it's just to promote the
awareness of
the music in Tijuana.
And through that festival, you were actually named the Ambassador of Arts by the Mexican government?
Yes, and I was very fortunate to travel with that recognition and help other singers get their visas and share my contacts that I created, that I've encountered.
Developed.
Like, for example, Tito Capobianco, who was the one who funded the Opera School of Music in Juilliard. The master's program for performing arts in Yale University. He did the San Diego Opera, Pittsburgh Opera. He was rescued the Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires. And he was now became not only a mentor, but my friend, a dear friend of mine. He was instrumental in the fame of Plácido Domingo. He's 89 years old, but as strong as he is. And he's also, every now and then he goes and conducts an opera at the Academy of Vocal Arts.
Oh, okay.
So I also met Kamal Khan, which he was a, assistant conductor James Levine at the Metropolitan Opera. So all these contacts I invite to Mexico, to Tijuana, and I share them with the young singers there.
You've really created like a little couple-week program,
yes.
Right?
It lasts a month and a half, and it has been received amazing by these young singers because they haven't had the luck or the money to get to know these people.
Or the girlfriends.
Or the girlfriends. Thank you, John.
But think about that, you know, there you were as a young boy in Tijuana with nothing to, you know, you're listening to recordings and you, my friend, are bringing these live stars to these young people in Tijuana.
Yes.
What a great gift.
Yes, every time I look back at my life, honestly, when they ask me, why have you sang at the Met? Why? And I always tell them the same thing. I cannot ask God for anything more. Let's remember, and I'm not ashamed to say, I'm actually very proud. I'm a sandwich maker from Tijuana that ended up studying one of the most prestigious universities, learned 5 languages, shared the stage with Plácido Domingo, and know all these great personalities. I really can ask for anything more. You know, I'm very blessed with what I have, and I hope I keep being blessed by having these things and coming back to, of course, to work with you, John, if you put up with me.
Well, I was just about to add that also here at Christ Cathedral, let's not forget that you have a home here, and we're happy that you're with us. And what a treat to have you on the show today. We've just enjoyed so much. I've just been fascinated, and I know our listeners have too, with your story. It's so cool. You know, you think of Dudamel and some of these others who have come from very humble beginnings. beginnings to become great musical superstars. And here's one that I know. You know, it's really wonderful. Your story is fascinating, and you're only at the beginning. I'm sure you're just scratching the surface as a young man, and you are going to just go so far. It's going to be great, and we're so happy that Christ Cathedral is a little part of your life.
It's always a pleasure to be here, and you know, it's one of the things that I look forward every year to participate here with you, and one of my blessings, and also, you know, one of the things that I was going to go back to Plaza Domingo is that I had a small list when I was 15 of the things that I wanted to accomplish. And in those things, there were two things in my long list of things that I wanted. It was to sing with Plaza Domingo, which I did, and for Plaza Domingo to play for me and the piano, accompany me. And a few months ago, in November, he actually did. He played for me, like, I don't know, about 7 arias, and he coached me on it. And,
wow.
And that was, imagine, I mean.
That would be a thrill of a lifetime.
It is. I mean, the tenor that actually helped me shape my life, you know, he really, because
right.
I.
From recordings to actually meeting him live.
And got him to play for me.
Wow. What an inspirational story. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you for sharing your music. Of course, on our website will be all of the music that you hear today. So you can go back and enjoy the show and the music at ChristCathedralMusic.org. And of course, we'll put pictures of all his girlfriends. No, I'm just kidding. But we want to hear
now.
Absolutely your most famous piece, the Nessun Dorma, from Turandot of Puccini. Tell us a little bit about this piece.
Well, Nessun Dorma is a very historical aria because it's sung by every single tenor. And of course, one of the tenors that became an ambassador of this aria was our beloved Luciano Pavarotti. And this aria talks about triumph. Triumph over love, but also triumph over yourself. The temperance of handling your emotions and being able to surpass your instincts. And I think it has to do a lot with, you can apply it to almost anything in your life, from your profession to your faith, to your ideals in life. Remember, this person, if he in the opera, if he gets wrong 3 of the guesses, it's off with his head. So in this song, he's saying, you know, at the end of the dawn, I will triumph, meaning that love will triumph. So that's why César then ends with vincerò.
Thank you so much for being with us. And you, my friend, will continue to triumph in the opera world. And I certainly hope here at Christ Cathedral with us visiting from time to time in your busy schedule as well. So be staying tuned and make sure that you keep watching for that name, César Sanchez. You will see it all over the place. This has been Music from the Tower. And as always, we encourage you to go out and hear live performance of some great music. And perhaps we've encouraged you with today's show to go out and check out some live performance of opera. We have many examples right here in Southern California and all over the world as you're listening. Thank you for listening to Music from the Tower. And until next time, we wish you a great day. Thanks for being with us today. César, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, John, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Oh, my pleasure. It was great.